Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm excited about this new series on family seasons, and today, a crucial topic, the choices we make. I'm also excited because one of our team, Jason, is going to be leading us in our study today. I know it's going to be really powerful, and we're glad you're with us, and I want to welcome the team. This is going to be a life-changing study, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
And you know, we can all look at our lives and say, there are choices I've made, and here's how they've impacted me, either for good or for evil. And so we are glad you're with us, and we're also glad that you write to us. Let us know how God is blessing your life through Hope Sabbath School. Here is a note from Afghanistan. Wow. Now, with the first name Moses, I'm thinking maybe it's someone on assignment there in Afghanistan, but I'm just so thankful to hear from Moses. Praise God. May the Lord bless Hope Sabbath School for the light you present to the world. I like the way you handle the study of the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Moses, whatever you're doing there, if it's your homeland or if you're on assignment there in Afghanistan, may you also be a light to the world where you are now serving. Here's a note, another note from Jamaica. We have so many Hope Sabbath School members in Jamaica. KJ writes, and I think you'll conclude at the end of her email that she would also appreciate your prayers. Yeah. KJ writes and says, I'm studying with you, Hope Sabbath School team. I'm unemployed and broke. That's colloquial for meaning no money. Yet living a life of victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What does amen mean?
So be it.
My heart agrees, right? Praise God. For my life does not consist in the abundance of things I possess. My life is tied up with God through Jesus, and it is well.
Amen.
That's a powerful testimony for all of us, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All my needs are supplied every day. My circumstances do not change who Jesus is and the victory he has already accomplished on my behalf.
Yes. Amen. Amen. She wrote in to preach to us.
KJ, you sound like a preacher. Praise God. I mean, an anointed preacher of God.
Amen.
I love you all, she says, but I love Jesus most.
Yes.
Stay faithful and let's meet in heaven, if not here someday, your sister, KJ. Well, KJ, thanks for writing. You inspired us. And we'll pray, because sometimes as we've studied in seasons, we could go through a challenging season.
Yep. Yes.
Unemployed, no money, but Jesus is with us.
Amen.
Here's a note from Earl in Kansas. Earl, thanks for writing to us in the United States. And actually, excuse me, it's a phone call from Earl. He called into our office. He sends his greetings to the Hope Sabbath School class. Born and raised in Kansas, he just turned 98.
Wow.
Amen. Well, happy birthday to you, Earl, and thanks for calling in to our hotline. He's been a baptized member since 1956.
Wow. Amen.
That's before most of you were born. That's before all of you were born. He truly appreciates this wonderful God-given program. He's unable to go to church, but he watches Hope Sabbath School every week.
Amen.
He says, may God bless and keep you and continue to glorify the Lord.
Amen.
He plans to watch Hope Sabbath School as long as he's on this old earth.
Amen.
Well, Earl, thanks for calling on our hotline. We're just so happy. Happy 98th birthday already. And continue to shine for Jesus. That's a beautiful testimony, isn't it? Here's a note from a donor in Alabama. I truly enjoy Hope Sabbath School. May God continue to bless you for many years to come. Please accept this small donation to be used in the best way it can. And a gift for $40.
Amen.
We're all working together for the mission, right?
Amen.
I remember Jesus with the widow who gave the two mites. And he said she gave all she had. Thanks for writing to us. And thank you to each one of you for your faithful support for this donor-supported ministry of God. One last note from Sonette in South Africa. Sonette, thanks for writing to us. From our small town, Vredenburg, on the west coast of the Cape in South Africa. How can I ever thank you for Hope Sabbath School? Our Sabbath School, each Sabbath at our church is blessed by your study It starts being broadcast here on Sunday, and it's a blessing to me to be able to watch as I prepare for my coming Sabbath school study. Thank you for all Hope Channel's hard work to reach the world. How can we ever thank you from our little town of Radenburg? May God bless you and keep you in the palm of his hand. And we say,
wow. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, thanks so much, Sonette. You're obviously a witness where you are. We're excited as we look at this important topic in this series on family seasons, the choices we make. But before we study, we have our theme song taken from Psalm. It's 3,000 years old, but it's powerful, and it's a song of praise. You can download it from our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Sheet music, MP3 file. Perhaps you've already learned it. Let's sing it together.
Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights, praise Him all His angels, praise Him all His hosts, praise Him sun and moon, praise Him all you stars of light, praise Him you heavens of heavens, praise Him.
That's a cheerful start to the study, Jason. God bless you as we study God's word today.
Amen. And after that cheerful start, let's bow our heads and let us thank the Lord and ask Him to be with us as we enter into this lesson. Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, today, as we open your word, as we understand more fully how the choices we make can impact our future and can impact those around us, help us to learn more how we can make choices that draw us closer to you, how we can use the freedom you've given us to be a blessing to someone else. Amen. Lord, help us to take something or even many things from this very practical lesson that we can apply to our lives today. And most importantly, we pray all of this in the holy name of Jesus, the one who gives us this power. Amen.
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 When we're looking at family seasons and we look at the choices we make, we have to understand that these choices can impact not just ourselves, but also can impact other people around us. And again, not just our families, but everyone we come in contact with. But before we look at this idea of choices, we need to first recognize how we even have the ability to make these choices, the freedom to choose. But before we go to the scriptures, I want to sort of ask someone here on the team, or maybe several, when you hear the phrase freedom to choose or the idea of freedom to make choices, what comes to your mind? What thoughts, what concepts enter your mind? Gladys?
I am not restricted. It's not a given script. I can choose what I want.
Not restricted, you have freedom. Juliana?
It's a true freedom, really, because I'm not being controlled to or forced into different things. I'm being allowed to choose.
All right, so freedom to choose. We get to make our own decisions, not restricted. Now let's take a look. We have our ideas. Now let's test these ideas by what the Bible says. And so I'd like to ask Stephanie if you could start us for us. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning, back to a time of perfection. And we're going to look at the second chapter of Genesis, verses 15 through 17. And there's a little story here, and there's some lessons that we can take out of this that teach us about this idea of freedom to choose, and see if how we understand freedom to choose, is this what God intended? So, Stephanie.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Wow, surely die. So some of the choices we make can have some pretty drastic consequences. But before we get to that part, I want to ask someone on the team here, what does that passage talk about? Or rather, what is the context we're in here? This is talking about freedom and eating of some tree, but where are we? What's happening in the story of the Bible? Juliana.
We're in the Garden of Eden. It's likely that Adam and Eve were just created, and God's kind of introducing the locale. Here's the home I've just made for you, but I want to let you know that there are some boundaries, and I'm doing this because I love you. There's kind of this relationship that's being established. And in that relationship, he's letting Adam and Eve know that they have this choice, but I would prefer that you not choose this because I love you.
All right, so there's some boundaries to this choice. Stephanie?
I think there's that choice, but there's also consequence. The Lord is not holding anything back from them. This is what my expectations are, and here are the results if you choose this. But I want you to choose what's right.
Yes, Lisa?
And even going further, I think it's more than just Here's a choice between what kind of life you want to live, you know, as we see later on, a life of sin or a life with God. But it's more of, do you choose me as your God? So they didn't get the chance to choose to be created. God created them. That was a choice he made. But he's saying, do you choose me to guide you, to walk with you? And that's what those two trees represent.
So we have these two trees, but I want to ask, here in the Garden of Eden, how many bad choices is God allowing Adam and Eve to potentially make here? Are there a lot of bad options in this garden?
No, just one.
Mm-hmm. So you could basically say that all the others, maybe 99%. Mm-hmm. So 99% good choices, 1% possibly bad choice. I'm thinking of my own life. If I could leave and 99% of the choices that I could make would be positive, that I would feel I'd be in a much better place than where I am in life. Travis.
I was just going to say, God didn't put him in the garden and say, okay, here's a path and here's a path. I mean, he gave him a vast variety of great things in front of them. And it was just a warning, stay away from that. Just don't go near the tree.
It's Derek.
And I like what Juliana said. It wasn't like, okay, there's 10 boxes. If you pick one up, it will blow up. You know, there's no warning. It's kind of like some kind of mean game, that he's been very clear that your choices have consequences, and I want to tell you that this is a sign of your trusting me.
Right.
You don't go near this. It's not like a booby trap. Yes. He's explained very clearly the meaning of that tree.
Mm-hmm. Rick.
Yeah, I think God is a God of love. That's the first and primary thing that we know about God. And so this tree, with love, you have to have freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. If you just put a gun to someone's head and say, love me, they might say they love you, but I don't think they really do. And so you have to give, you know, for every yes, you have to have an opportunity to say no. If you can't say no, it's not really a yes.
Yes.
And so this tree becomes an symbol of a way to show God, do I trust you? Do I love you? Do I want to be in relationship with you? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to take all that into my own hands, as the devil tempted them? Do you want to be like God? And and in the end, of course, we know the story. Yeah.
Thank you, Rick. Rick entered an important idea here, this idea that God created us with the freedom of choice, that we had to have that bad option. I want to explore that a little more here quickly. Someone else on the team, why did God give us that freedom? Because isn't that dangerous? Couldn't we mess up? Couldn't we cause problems and a lot of hardship? Nicole?
Well, we do mess up. And I think that's why he knew that we were going to mess up. But he's given us the ability to make that choice. He says, if you love me, you'll choose me. He can't force us, because even when you do with your own child, there are things that you want your child to do that you'd prefer them not do, but you still love them when they make that bad choice, but you're giving them the structure to make the choice in. I think God is merciful and gracious that he says, choose me, hopefully, because that way you'll have eternal life, but I love you enough to allow you to choose the other way and cause your own destruction. So it's his love that does that.
Yes. Gladys.
If God would not have given us freedom of choice, then we'll be like robots. Mm-hmm. We'll have to worship him because he said so, and we'll have been programmed just for that. So he gave us the freedom of choice, so like Nicole said, so we will choose on our own to be in fellowship with him.
Now, I do have to ask, though, because some people think it might be better that we were robots. I mean, if we were robots, wouldn't there be a lot less pain in this world and a lot less heartache?
Sure. Probably.
Lisa.
Well, I think that love is a risk. When you fall in love, you're taking a risk. You don't know if that person will reciprocate and love you back. And so when John is saying God is love, he's saying he's willing to take a risk on us, knowing that maybe we may not choose him, maybe we can turn our backs from him, but he's in it for the long haul and he's committed to us. But we have to choose it. It has to be freely given back for it to be love.
Juliana.
I also don't think you can have a relationship with a robot.
Amen.
I mean, there's a reason why we weren't created as robots, because God wanted a relationship. Mm. Not, he didn't want something just to maintain. He wanted to interact, to love, really. And that's why I believe he gave us freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we know the story, but let's go there very quickly. Luan, if you could read for us Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And then Glenn, if you could read for us Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Let's see, what is the result? What choice did our first parents make? And what is the result of this choice? How does this relate to our choices today? So, Luan.
So, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 says, "The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too."
All right, so our first parents, they exercised their freedom of choice, and because they exercised their freedom of choice in this certain direction, they chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we have some consequences that have happened. We've had some negative effects, and was it just our first parents? Glenn, you have a verse for us there in Romans?
Romans 3, verse 23, reading from the New King James Version. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God."
So with one exception there, basically all of us have exercised our freedom of choice in ways that have been, shall we say, harmful for our future?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yet, there is good news. There was one person who did not exercise his freedom of choice in a harmful way. So who was that person?
Jesus.
Jesus, yes. And there is a passage in the scriptures. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. I'd like to ask Nancy if you could read this for us. It's John chapter 3, verse 16, and then we're also going to read verse 17. Because there was one man who exercised his freedom of choice in a positive way, and then because of this, we now have an opportunity to exercise our freedom of choice in a way differently. In some ways, we can't undo what Adam and Eve did, but we can make up for that with our own personal lives, with our freedom of choice. And so please read that for us, and even though this is a very famous verse, someone may be hearing it for the first time. Let's hear from John.
This is John 3:16 and 17 from the New King James Version. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
So what's the most important positive choice we can make? Yes, Travis.
The key word is through. Through indicates a relationship. Mm. When you read, when I was reading this and going over and studying this, I was like, wow, you know, the only way that we can be saved is through a relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's just not knowing about his name randomly, but he desires that relationship. We're saved through a saving relationship with Jesus.
Through that saving relationship with Jesus, we can exercise our freedom of choice for salvation. Now, God wants to save everyone. He loves all of his creation, and yet not everyone is going to be saved. And so I'd like to ask Billy if you could read the next two verses in John chapter 3. Let's read why the Bible explains to us why is everyone not going to be saved. God wants us all to be there, yet we're not all going to be with him, so why is this? Please read for us.
John 3:18 and 19, I'll be reading from the King James Version. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Mm-hmm. So why are we not all going to be saved, Gladys?
Because we have to choose. We have to make that conscious decision to accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord.
Mm-hmm. Nicole?
But if you think about it just practically, do you as a human being want to be with someone who doesn't love you? You don't want to be in the house with someone every day that really that can't stand you. So I don't know why God would want someone with him in his kingdom forever that didn't love him. Mm-hmm. I think part of this is we have to choose to love him and choose to want to be with him. And then he wants to be with us also. He wants us all to be saved, but he doesn't want someone who he's forcing to want to be with him in his kingdom.
And that person wouldn't want to be there either.
Right,
so
right.
It's freedom of choice both ways there. Mm-hmm. God choosing who he wants and people choosing whether they want to be with him. So because of our freedom of choice, we can even choose to reject the gift that he's given us to save us again. Making up for the freedom of choice of our first parents. Yes, Lisa.
And I love that John is using the imagery of light and darkness. So it's like mm-hmm. black and white. You either love darkness, you hold on to this choice and reject God, or you fully embrace God and reject the other. So you can't have half and half. And there are some people who kind of, you know, well, I want God Monday to Tuesday, but Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I want this. But he's saying you have to go all in. That's what love is, 100%. Be fully in it. And reject the darkness, which is going back to what John is saying.
Yes, Derek.
You know, I was just startled. I mean, we've heard these verses before, but the people would actually love darkness mm-hmm. rather than light.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how can that be? It's actually the verb agapao, which is a fully devoted love of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And how can that be? And the only explanation is one choice after another.
Yes.
That you actually come to the place that you're fully devoted to darkness,
mm-hmm.
even though God so loved the world that he gave.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening, actually, how much our choices will even affect the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
And so on that note, we've got a reference here to dark choices, wrong choices, but the good news is, we can make right choices.
Amen. Amen.
And so let's look at this idea, this concept of right choices. But before we get to that, Derek referenced dark choices. What does it mean to make a right choice? Someone on the team here, if I say, make the right choice, what do you think I'm saying, or what does that sound like to you, someone on the team? Nancy, if I say, make the right choice.
The one that's logical and the one that's going to be better for you and for those around you.
So better for you, better for those around you. Yes, Stephanie.
I guess I would kind of say that we can't make the right choices unless we've made the right choice to start with,
mm-hmm.
which is choosing Jesus. And it is the best decision. It's not this restriction. It is the best decision that you can ever make. And so the right choice, humanly speaking, God leads us sometimes in a path that doesn't always make sense, but it's always the best.
Mm-hmm.
So if we make the right choice first and make him Lord of our lives, it is the best decision that you can make.
Mm-hmm.
And he will guide you in the rest of your path.
Amen.
Amen. That sounds super encouraging, but let's make sure that it's not just our words. There are promises in the Bible that tell us what Stephanie said, that when we want to make the right choice, God will guide us. And you may have verses. I have some here. But what are some of your favorite texts? What are some of your favorite promises about how God will guide you, as Stephanie said, when you want to make the right choice? Yes, Gladys.
Yeah, one of my favorites is in James 1:5.
James chapter 1, verse 5. All right.
Yes, and I use it all the time with my students, and I use it all the time when I want to make a decision as well. So James 1:5, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives you all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him."
And why is that encouraging to you?
Because we all have to make decisions on a daily basis. And sometimes we don't know what to do. We may be confused. We may be clouded by many circumstances. But if we ask of God, he will either direct somebody to us, or he will give us the light that we need.
Amen. Mm.
Someone else on the team. Yes, Nancy.
I have one. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 and actually 15 through 20.
Deuteronomy chapter 30. In verses 15 through 20.
Yeah.
All right. And you're going to read that for us?
Yes.
All right. 13, 15 through 20. Mm-hmm. About the choices we make. Yes.
Right. And this is from the New King James Version. "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them."
Amen. Amen. So Amen. That passage right there talks about the choices we can make there. We can choose life or we can choose death. God makes it very clear what he wants us to choose, mm-hmm. yet ultimately he gives us the freedom to make that decision. He's not going to force us on that. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a lot of different resources that we can use that are helpful in knowing what choices to make. And one of the best resources we have is actually the Word of God itself. The Scriptures are an important resource, and the Bible talks about this. And so I'd like to ask Laurel if you could read for us Psalm 119, verse 105. Let's see, what does the Bible say about why it itself, the Bible itself, is an important resource for us as we're looking to make right choices in life?
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Psalms 119, 105.
"Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path."
Lamp to feet, light to path. So it guides our way, it gives us direction, helps us know where we're going. Yes, Stephanie.
Actually, I was just thinking that when we read this verse, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path," do we believe that? When we come up against a fork in the road, do we run to the Word of God? That's a question for myself as well. Is this my source? Do I really believe it?
And there's an amazing promise in answer to that. If we are really in relationship with God, Jesus said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things I said to you." So again, God is not trying to hide from us or make it difficult.
Amen.
He's wanting to save us. And,
yes.
And so I think that's one of the reasons we do Hope Sabbath School. We fill our minds with the Word and trust the Holy Spirit can bring that to our remembrance.
Now, we have another place in the Scriptures. I'd like to ask Travis if you could read for us 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This verse gives some specific guidance or some specific actions or ways in which the Bible is a helpful resource. So I want Travis to read that, and then I want us to very quickly kind of list or think out about what these things are and how they can help us on the right path. So, yes, Travis.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Mm-hmm. All right. So someone on the team, what were some of the things there that Scripture is helpful for? Stephanie.
Doctrine.
Doctrine. All right. So doctrine is understanding the right way, how to understand God's word in relationship to our lives, making it practical. Yes,
reproof.
Reproof. So reproof is when we may be going in the wrong direction, we may be exercising our freedom of choice in a less than helpful way. It's guiding us back to the right way, guiding us to use our freedom of choice in a more positive, beneficial way. Yes, Lisa.
No, I was just thinking back to what Stephanie talked about, the fork on the road, and really, do we believe it? And in a previous lesson, we were talking about transitions. And, you know, some people, they're in a tough spot. They have to make a decision. It's not something they can put off. They're in that moment where, you know, they need to commit to something or whatever it is in their lives. And I think the Word of God shows us through the lives of other people who are in similar situations, similar decision-making points that make or break moments in their life. How did they handle it? And so the Word of God shows us through these stories, through these back experiences of, okay, these are people who chose the right thing. This is how it worked out for them. These are people who didn't choose the right thing. This is how it worked out for them. And so we are able to see, we don't have to learn from our mistakes. We don't have to make mistakes. If we study the Word of God, we can actually see how things play out because our vision is so limited to temporal things. The Word of God is eternal. So we can actually see the outcome of how things play out and how one decision leads to another, leads to consequences, and we see that whole eternity in the decisions we make every day.
Very practical.
You know, I love what Travis said. It's easy to say you're going the wrong path, but it's not only reproof, but it's correction.
Correction. Yes.
So it not only shows you you're heading down a destructive path, like Lisa said, the story, but here's the healthy path. Here's the good choice. Here's the choice that will bless you and bless others.
Yes.
That's, I think, what's so powerful about the Bible. It teaches us not only what will be dangerous, but it shows us how to live in a healthy and wholesome way, and most of all, a relationship with God.
And that's that last part, instruction in righteousness. Mm-hmm. And if I think of the word righteousness, in the context of our lesson, would it be fair to say righteousness is right choices, right doing is kind of the general understanding of it, but right choices, exercising our freedom of choice in a positive direction, that's what righteousness is. And we know, of course, as Stephanie referenced, where our righteousness comes from, where we get the power to make those right choices, not of our own strength. It's because of what happened in John 3. And yes, Travis.
And if you finish, when you read verse 17 after that, basically saying that the Bible is fully equipping the man of God for works, you know, just completely equipping the man of God for good works.
And the women of God.
And the women of God.
Men and women, yes.
And the young boys and girls. It's for all of us, right?
For all of us, children of God. Yes, Stephanie.
And with the foundation, the whole purpose is because he loves us and he wants the best for us.
That's
really
right. That's it.
You know, it's not about, oh, okay, let's zap. But I want the best for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to guide you.
Gladys.
Yeah, I think that I was referring back to what Lisa was saying about us not having the necessity to make a mistake because we have the example. But unfortunately, as humans, sometimes we don't learn by somebody else's experience, but we have to learn through our own experience. I'm not saying necessarily bad. For example, I grew up in church. I was born and raised in church, and I would always read that God will provide. But it was not till I was going hungry and didn't know where the food was coming that I actually understood that God will provide.
Yes.
You know, so sometimes we have to go learn through experience.
Amen.
All right.
We've talked about the Bible as a resource, but I want to ask real quickly, are there any other resources that have been useful for you personally in your own life, whether it's another person or other things that have been helpful? What are some resources that have been helpful for you when making right choices? Stephanie?
Godly mentors. Yes.
Godly yes. mentors.
And generally, those who have gone the path before you,
right.
they've been through this path, and they know certain things that we don't know. So to listen to that.
Godly mentors. Anyone else on the team? A resource that's been helpful for you personally. Yes, Gladys.
Prayer meetings.
Prayer meetings.
I went to a prayer meeting that actually praying is just people talking. And have you ever been prayer pitted? It's when everybody surrounds you and they put their hands on you. I didn't know anybody in that prayer meeting. And they put their hands on me. Mm-hmm. And exactly what I had been struggling with, the person that prayed for me prayed. Mm. And I was just like, whoa, how did that happen? But God can use even, you know, your desire to be in a prayer meeting to answer, you know, the concerns and the questions in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Juliana.
Bible study groups. I love being able to come together with a group of people that are all earnestly seeking to know God better. And maybe, you know, we might have some that have been in church longer than others or some that maybe have just joined. And yet we get insights from everybody because we're all looking for the same purpose. Mm-hmm. We're all looking to Christ, looking for a better understanding. And I think that sometimes I get more blessed by the insights of the new person because they're seeing it with fresh eyes, and it reminds me to see Jesus again with fresh eyes.
So the benefit of our church community, our community of believers, different experiences. Yes, Billy.
And I'm reminded of Andrew. Andrew is known for the disciple who keeps on bringing people to Jesus.
Mm. Yes.
And it doesn't have to be, like, let's say, a person who's like a pastor or somebody who's very theologically knowledgeable, but somebody who knows where the answer is. And I'm also reminded that some people don't have, they clinically cannot make the right choices. They are mentally ill. Mm-hmm. And we need people who can bring these people to church, bring people to somebody who can pray over them. And these people not necessarily have to be church members, but they need to know that there is a church that's going to pray for them. There are some people that are going to pray for them. So these are, we just need to be around people who knows where the answer is and who can pray or lead us in that direction.
Thank you, Billy, for bringing out some of those important points there, things we don't always think about when utilizing resources to make choices in life. Now, there are some very important choices we can make in life. We'll discuss them later. Some that come to mind personally are choosing a life partner, maybe making financial decisions. One of the most important decisions we can make is to follow Christ. But we also have to look at some of the poor choices that people have made in life. And I want us to look here in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'd like if, Nicole, if you could read for us the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. There's a story of the wisest man who ever lived. And yet, even though he's the wisest man who ever lived, he made some choices in life. He exercised his freedom of choice in a certain direction. I want us to look at this very quickly, some of the choices he made, why he made them, and what conclusion he came to.
The New International Version of Ecclesiastes 2, 3 through 11 says, I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. Mm-hmm. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor and this was the reward for my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun.
Hmm. Wow. So let's unpack that for a moment. What were some of the activities that this wise man Solomon undertook, some of the things that he did to build himself up? What are some of the choices that he made? Juliana?
He gathered a lot of material wealth.
A lot of material wealth, yes. Anyone else?
Many wives.
Many wives. All right, so material wealth, social wealth, you could say. So he gathered all these things, and what was the reason why he was doing this? He says quite clearly. What was his rationale? Was he doing this to bring glory to God? Yes, Gladys.
He denied himself nothing that he wanted.
Nothing that he wanted.
He was pleasing himself.
His self. So this is all about self-pleasure. So he's exercising his freedom of choice for self. Yes, Juliana.
In verse 3, it says, that I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. He's experimenting. He's trying to see what is it that I can get away with, basically.
And he's kind of follow your heart. We've heard this idea sometimes in popular culture, follow your heart, do what feels good, experiment, try it out. And yet, what is the conclusion he comes to here? What does he call it?
Meaningless.
Meaningless. Vanity. Pointless.
Grasping after the wind.
Grasping after the wind. So he's exercising his freedom of choice. He's going in all these different directions, trying these things. And yet, it's meaningless. It's purposeless. And why is it meaningless? Why is it purposeless?
Because that's not what we were created for. To just gratify our flesh, our pleasures. We were created to love God with all our hearts and to love each other, which is giving. And that was all taking. And he took everything, and it was vanity.
Vanity.
A waste of time. Because that's not what we're created for.
Yes, Nancy.
The interesting thing is he didn't start out that way. He started out asking, well, God asked him in a dream what he could give him. And what he wanted was wisdom. He felt that he was as a small child not knowing what to do when his father, King David, gave him the kingdom. And he started out with a heart seeking after God. And somewhere along the line, I guess maybe choice by choice by choice, he ended up in this place where he just wasted all of these resources.
Now, one of the most important decisions we can make in life, and the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, is how we choose our friends, who we choose to associate with, to spend our time socializing. We've talked about a reference how good friends can be helpful, whether in Bible study or prayer meeting. And so I'd like to ask Rick if you could read for us one of the places in Proverbs references the importance of choosing friends wisely, but let's look at why this is beneficial or how this is helpful, some practical principles. So, Rick, could you read for us Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17? We're going to look at some principles when choosing friends so that hopefully we might not make some of the same choices that Solomon made.
Sure. I'm reading from the New International Version. This is Proverbs 17, 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity.
All right, so loving at all times, being there for support. Another principle is 18:24. Lisa, if you could read that for us. What does this say about choosing friends wisely? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
All right, so friendliness, there's this idea of sticking closer than a brother. We have these positive ideas, but then there's also some things to avoid. Juliana, if you could read for us Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. We have some caution when choosing friends and which friends we should be careful around.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul.
Thank you, Juliana. And one last portion we have from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. And I'd like to ask Laurel if you could read for us here, because someone could say, well, it's okay if I associate people as long as I've got good habits to start with. So good habits, that will be enough for me. But what caution does Paul give here in relationship to friendship? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33.
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's important who we associate with, what our friends are for us. And so I'd like to ask on the team here, we've referenced it a little bit, but even more, let's try to get a little personal. Have you had any experiences in your life where friends have impacted you, either positively or, if we're being honest, possibly negatively? Someone here on the team, do you have an experience you're willing to share about how friends have helped you exercise your freedom of choice in a way that brought you closer to God, or possibly the other direction? Gladys, I see you smiling here.
Well, I have, like I said, a very good group of female friends that encourage me to dig deeper into the Word of God. And that's one of the things that I appreciate their friendship for, because whenever I ask for their counsel or for their help in certain situations, they do not give me their opinion. They don't say, I think that you should do this, or I think you should do that. They just lead me back to the Word of God and say, let's see what God says that you should do in this situation. And I think that choosing friends that will lead you to God is the best kind of friends you can have.
Amen. Mm.
Friends that lead you closer to God. Anyone else on the team experience with friendship, either positive or possibly? Yes, Travis.
I'll share one from the negative side. I guess, you know, at about 15 years old, my parents had divorced, and I was kind of just left to just do what I wanted, and pretty soon found myself hanging out with people I shouldn't have. And next thing you know, I'm drinking and smoking and doing the things that they were doing. And then you just get, you surround yourself with more of those friends. And it led to some, I guess, seasons of not such a good life, you know, for a while. And as I was coming back out of that, I noticed that when I would spend time with them, I would go back to those things. But the further I removed myself from them, not that I don't like them, but the further I removed myself from them, the easier it was to sustain, you know, abstinence from alcohol or that kind of thing.
So to exercise your freedom of choice in a positive direction, sometimes you had to use your freedom of choice and not associate as much or in certain contexts with certain people. Yes, Juliana.
Not as drastic of a story as Travis, but in a negative sense, certain groups of people that I had hung out with, it sometimes will lead your mind to think in certain ways. And you have to catch yourself sometimes. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm speaking more resentfully of other people, or I'm looking in a more negative term, where my other group of friends that support me and, you know, is a group of ladies that also will lead me to Christ. You know, we speak more positively. We look with hope, as opposed to some of my friends that I have had in the past that are kind of always looking for the bad or always looking for something to complain about. Mm-hmm. And when I recognized that, I was able to, one, distance myself a little bit, but not so much that we're no longer friends. It's just now I've made a choice of I need to switch gears and be a little bit more on guard when I'm with them, so maybe I can be that positive influence in their lives instead of allowing them to bring me down and be the complaining or the negative in mine.
So we have to be careful, watch that what we are doing, we're exercising our freedom of choice in ways that shows Christ's love to those we come in contact with, I guess, would be a fair way to say it. Mm-hmm. We have to move to one last important choice that we can make in life, and that's choosing a life partner. Now, we go back to the beginning, to the book of Genesis, and I'm going to ask Gladys if you could read for us all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. We have verse 18 and then 21 through 25. We have this beautiful story of what God gives in this context of choosing a life partner. And as Gladys reads, let's look at some of the principles we can pull out here from this beautiful story.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and then 21 to 25. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Verse 21 to 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God has taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed."
Wow, that's a wonderful story. But what are some of the principles from this story that we can take when, say, searching for our own life partner, or looking for God's path in this direction? Gladys.
I think that I like the part where he says that this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So this should be something that connects you to that person. There should be some path that you are walking, that you can be walking along together. So I think that there has to be some type of unity there.
Some unity, some path, some connection. Yes, Juliana.
I've heard a phrase where, you know, woman was not made from man's head to rule over him, nor from his feet so that he would walk all over her, but from his side so that they could be walking together. You know, I didn't say that properly, but that just
yes.
and you know, it's there's that comparison, that the unification really, as she said, that we're equal. Mm-hmm. We're equal, and we're coming as whole people. We're not coming to control someone else. We're not seeking to be controlled. And I guess for me, what this says for me is I need to come as a whole person when I'm seeking a relationship with someone else. So, you know, seeking God first before I...
Now we need to look quickly at two different stories of one who made the right choice and one who maybe didn't follow some of these principles. And Lisa, if you could go for us to the book of Judges, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And then Stephanie, if you could look a couple chapters later, Judges chapter 16, verse 1 through 4, we have a quick story of some fatal mistakes that one person made in choosing a life partner. And so let's look at some of these mistakes just very quickly. Lisa, Judges chapter 14.
Okay. Judges chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife.' Then his father and his mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleases me well.'"
Thank you, Lisa. And now Stephanie.
And I'll be reading Judges 16, 1 and 4 in the King James Version. "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah."
Mm. All right, so he didn't follow maybe what his family guided. He didn't choose someone that was from the same faith as him, the same guidance that God had been directing him. But we do have a good story. And Laurel, I'd like if you could read quickly Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. We have the counterexample to this.
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows.
When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who you have been conceived in, who has been conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates mead. God is with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. But he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
So he followed the Holy Spirit's direction. He was a just man, and that allowed him to make better choices in life partner. And I'd like to ask you, maybe you've exercised your freedom of choice in a way that wasn't so helpful. If you have, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and by his grace, you can make right choices, exercising your freedom of choice to be a blessing to other people around you.
Well, thank you, Jason. It's been a great study, hasn't it?
Yes.
You know, I just want to come back to what was said earlier, that the most important choice is to choose Jesus.
Amen.
Because he'll guide you in every other choice you have to make. Mm-hmm. And he is not trying to catch you out and trouble you. He's wanting to save you and use you as a transforming blessing to others. But as Jason just said, if we've made some poor choices, God can forgive us and correct us and instruct us in righteousness. Mm-hmm. And I want to pray that we can listen to that counsel as we continue through the seasons of life. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're impressed with the importance of the choices we make. And we're praying that by your grace and through your guidance, that we can make good choices, healthy choices, not only for our best good, but to honor your name and to be a blessing to others. So guide us each day in the choices we make, most of all the choice to accept your salvation and follow where you lead. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, it's a life-changing journey going through family seasons, and God wants to go through with us to bless our lives. Go out now and be a blessing to those around you.